right, you guys, let's talk about Christmas, shall we? But before we do, I want to tell you about a man. Now, this man was one remarkable man. One might say that this man changed it all for us for all eternity as we know it. He was called many things, including but not limited to teacher, master, and healer. Kings feared him, yet he won no battles, but he overcame the world. And I would say most importantly, he had no criminal record, but was crucified. He may have been buried, but he is in fact alive today. This man was not decorated for any groundbreaking scientific research, fighting military battles, or winning any type of ballgame, but yet he would change the minds and hearts of millions of people around the world for the rest of time. For those of you that were with us last Sunday, I began my sharing by stating that during this time of year, many people quote the phrase, the reason for the season. And yes, they are in fact referring to the man himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But more specifically, they're talking about his birth. I'd like to recount the story about how this man came to be, if you'll permit me. It's traditionally called the Christmas story. And this version of the story has been told across many generations. The story begins with the three wise men seeing that big bright star in the sky, which they began to travel towards. They traveled quite a long way to get there. Upon arrival, they noticed a stable with a bunch of animals as they meet the newborn Christ child. And they give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The end. Oh, hang on a second. What's that, Pops? Oh, that's not how the story goes? Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on, guys. I have to wonder, what do we actually know about the speculations that we hear of Christmas? Did the wise men really come on the night of Jesus Christ's birth? Was Jesus actually born in a stable? Was he even born on Christmas night? Well, I think the first thing that people hear about oftentimes is those three wise men on camels bearing gifts that came to see Jesus on the night of his birth. However, this is a common misconception. You could take my word for it, or better yet, let's just read about it, shall we, in God's word. Now, we all know that his birth realistically took place on September 11th or some point during that time frame. And over the years, there have been many speculations about what actually occurred at the time of his birth. So I thought tonight we would actually take a look at some key things regarding this and see what's right and what's wrong. First, let's address those three wise guys, also known as the Magi. So if you want to take your Bibles or your phones or just listen, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So, guys, the first rumor has been proved wrong right off the bat. As a matter of fact, the Christmas story is essentially two different time periods clumped together in one. The wise men came quite some time after the birth of Christ. We're not sure exactly how long this was. It could have been days, months, or maybe even years later. But it says in Matthew 2:11 that the wise men visited Jesus in a house, and that the words young child are used to describe the age Jesus was at the time, which we can probably guess that he was no longer an infant or a newborn baby. We also know that the wise men were from the east, as it says in verse 1, so that's most likely from modern-day Iran or what was known as Persia at the time. So these guys traveled nearly 1,000 miles to see the Christ child. And many scholars have concluded that Christ was in fact born in September, which is another study that we can look at probably another time. So I guess we can wonder where all of the traditional depictions of Christ's birth have come about. And to be completely honest with you, I have no idea. But what I do know is that the Word of God is the truth and tells us how it actually happened, huh? But there's more to it than just these three wise men, otherwise known as the Magi. So at this time, I've asked the wise man himself at my house, my father, to tell us some more about what actually happened on that night, not on Christmas, but in September. So, Pops, take it away.
All right, if you go take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read what did happen at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ and see what it says. And if you'll compare the records, Luke, with what my son just shared about the wise men, you'll find out that the wise men never came close to that time period.
So let's get
cracking. And in chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And this was a registration. It was a wonderful another thing that the Roman government wanted the people to do, so that's what they had to do. And verse 3, all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And that word espoused is not really, it could be almost scratched from, I'm reading it in the King James, because at this time there were, according to the legal customs of the time, they were fully married, and he was under Joseph's protection. So, verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, while they were there, they were registering, they were doing the registration, and while they were there, Mary, his wife, being great with child, it came to pass, in verse 6 says, it came to pass that time for her to deliver. And verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm going to deviate real quick here because I want to talk about the swaddling clothes and what that means in the lands and times of the Bible. And Dr. Victor Paul Werwell in his research writes about the swaddling clothes, and I'm just going to interrupt one of his chapters and say, a greater appreciation for this passage can be savored when one understands Eastern customs regarding childbirth. Whenever a son of a king, a prince, was born, that child was salted and swaddled. To salt a child meant that soon after birth, the newborn babe was gently washed with water, having a small portion of salt in it. Salt symbolized the qualities of truth and honesty. Bathing a newborn in salt water indicated that the child would have these characteristics. His words would be salted. After salting the newborn child, strips of fine linen cloth about 2 inches wide were then wrapped around his body. These were called swaddling clothes. The child is wrapped from head to foot, with only a part of his face being left uncovered so he could breathe. The baby's body and limbs were held very straight when wrapped in this fashion. These linen strips were not rags and did not mean Joseph and Mary were poverty-stricken, but rather this was a sign to God that these parents would raise the child to be upright before the Lord and that he would be free from crookedness and waywardness. The babe would normally be left in the swaddling clothes for only a brief period of time while the parents took time to meditate and make their commitment to God concerning the sacred trust which was given them in having the child. Salting and swaddling were recognizably significant to an Eastern person. In biblical times, any child born to nobility or royalty would be salted and swaddled. If this were not done, there would be doubt regarding the person's integrity, both in his youth and his adulthood. And we know that Jesus Christ was God's only begotten son. So you think he was born into royalty? Yeah. And also, Joseph, his stepfather, you'd call him, was of the lineage of David, King David. So that's why he was salted and swaddled. And so in verse 7, we're going to keep verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in a flock, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, that they were sore afraid. Wow, that's been a sight. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the host praising God and saying, they weren't singing, they were saying, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They were not singing, they said. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. In swaddlings a baby, salting and swaddling, only lasted for a very, very short time. So they got a message to go see this child, and they find him in swaddling clothes. So they had to put their foot to the middle and get going. So in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And it's a good thing that they went out in a hurry, because that custom of salting and swaddling only lasted a short time. And if they had missed that, they would have missed seeing the Christ child. What a wonderful account of what really happened at the particular time that Jesus Christ was born. And the record will continue to go on into his life as he gets a little bit older. But that is what happened, the events surrounding his birth. Wonderful, huh?
Well, gee, thanks, Dad. You're a wise man indeed. So, folks, the traditions of man are exactly that. They are traditions. I'm not sure where they get started, specifically the quote-unquote Christmas story. But we know that the only thing we can be using to fact-check is the Word of God itself. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your matchless Word. We thank you that all we have to do is just open up the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will tell us exactly what we need to know for just about anything, Father. So we're real grateful for that. And I pray for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.